So, good night, everybody. Let's look as well at the Gemara at the bottom of Daf Chav Testament Aleph. We're going to start four lines up, the fourth word on the line. Last time we finished talking about Tzarchei Rabbim and what to do with money that was stolen and you don't know how to return. So right after that, after Boros Shichanum Aros, on the fourth line from the bottom, you'll see Ad Berei Rav Chista L'Rabana Ukva V'Darash. Rav Chista took Rabana Ukva and he darshined Lo Yimdod Adam Seorin V'Yitein Lifnei V'Hemto B'Yomtov. A person should not measure out barley and place it in front of his animal on Yom Tov. Aval koder hu kav o kabayim, he can be koder, one kav or two kav. V'nosem lifnei v'hemto v'eino choshesh, and he can place it in front of his animal and not have to worry about it. Number two, v'hanachtom mode tavlin v'nosem lasoch kedei raso, the nachtom can actually measure tavlin and place it inside his pot. Kedei shelo yakdiach tavshilo, in order that his dish does not burn. And finally, the last thing we'll say, and really, you know, we can stop here for in terms of reading the Gemara. So let's take a look at Rashi for now. Rashi notes, Adbarei, Hinhigo umitayel imo b'mavuo sa'ir. It says he was leading him through the different passageways and alleyways of the city. And he said, Lo yimdot adam kav se'orin. And says the Gemara, we're going to add a chiddush. What did we say in the Mishnah was aser to measure? As a reminder, for the purposes of Mekach u'Memkar, for the purposes of business, and this Gemara tells us, afilu litein levehemto, you're not even allowed to measure out one kav of sa'orim to give to your own animals at home, shenira kimoded limchar. Because it seems, it appears, when you go to your barley stash and you measure out that exact amount of barley, it looks as if you're doing it for the sake of business. That's the way that Rashi explains this here. Okay, an important Rashi, which we'll touch on later in the shir. It says, Rashi, what is aval koderhu? Bikav atzmo, says Rashi, he can take the actual measurement, and no cave bikri, he can make a hole, to push a hole into this pile of barley that he has. Umimal o shelo kiderech mida, laseis biyado litocho. And he fills it up in a way that's different than usual. How normally would one fill up a measurement? Says Rashi.
You pour into it, I guess.
With his hand, he says. Normally, you're taking lase spiato l'selcho. Here, what you're going to do is you're just going to stab it in. You're going to poke a hole, so to say. Obviously, we're not actually poking a hole. It's a pile. So when you stick it in, it's going to fill up. And then Rashi says you can take it out. That's not the normal way to do it. So that will alleviate the concern that it looks like Mekach u'Memkar here. Because in the case of Mekach u'Memkar, you're very carefully pouring it in with your hand or in some other fashion. That's the way that Rashi seems to explain this. Koder says Rashi is Lashon no cave. It means to make a hole. That's what Koder means. Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Nachtom. And Rashi says someone who is Mevashel Kederos Namikari Nachtom. Nachtom normally we assume is a baker. But Nachtom also could mean someone who cooks. And he says, what does it mean? Yakdiach. It means it will burn. Okay, so as we said, basically, there's an additional psak of the Gemara here that you can't even measure out barley to serve to one's animals. So, this was Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara. If you can, squint at your Rabbeinu Hananel here as well. It's the second to last line in the standard print of Rabbeinu Hananel in the middle of the second to last line. It starts with Adbarei. Okay, Adbarei Rav Chista, Klomar, Sam Dvarav V'fiv, he placed what he should say in his mouth, L'Rabbana Ukva, T'Rabbana Ukva, V'Darash. And he said the following drasha, Lo Yimdod Adam Se'orim V'Yitein Lifnei V'Hem To, he should not measure out the Se'orim and place it in front of his animal, Aval Be'omed. Okay, and he says, Ulai tzarach lamar avalito be'omed. He says, aval be'omed kavo kabayim ve'eno choshesh mishum mida. You can estimate a kavo kabayim and you don't have to worry about mida. Okay, and then he skips out the next case in the Gemara. So, I wanted to take a look at the machlokes as to what does it mean, koder. Rashi said it's lashon no cave, right? It means to pierce something. Rabbeinu Hananel seems to be saying that it means, he says, aval be'omed. You can do it with estimating. It seems that he's
estimation? Is that what he's saying?
That's what he seems to be explaining here. Now, maybe he's just working on it based on context.
Right. Okay, Inureshi, what are you piercing?
So, basically imagine you had a giant pile, and you try to, let's say, make a hole through it. It's a very forced interpretation, but basically as if you're, like, digging into it with your little measuring spoon, or measuring cup.
Versus actually taking out
with your hand or a pitcher and pouring it into the measuring cup, which was the normal way of doing that.
So it's you can't estimate as much when you pierce it in. Is that what?
So again, the way that Rashi seems to be emphasizing, and I'll read you his language again: Shelo kiderech mida lases biyado l'socho. Rashi is concerned that it's going to look like you're doing it l'shem makach u'memkar, and therefore this seems to be almost like a shinui, so to say. Not a shinui, in fact, it's like a doraisa. It's certainly not a doraisa to do this.
And whether it's accurate or not accurate is not the issue.
That doesn't seem to be the issue according to Rashi. Correct. According to Rashi, it's just, it can't look like you're doing it for Mekach u'Memkar. Right? You don't see any word of Omed or estimation of any sort in Rashi. Reino Hanano is all about Omed. So first of all, something that we're not going to talk about, I don't know why I keep on forgetting to put in the numbers here. It's driving me up the wall. I apologize once again. We'll have to go by the headings. So I'll just read the heading. So the first source that I brought you there is not one that I wanted to talk about today, but one that I said I wish I had the time to properly research. There's a Sefer Ha'ora L'Rashi. It's another Sefer of Rashi's, except that this is not the first time that we've quoted it in the base this year. We actually quoted it last year. And also last year, there was a machlokes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel, and the Sefer Ha'ora, which is supposed to be Rashi's Sefer, just like it did there, actually follows the explanation of Rabbeinu Hananel. If you look at the way Sefer Or has it, Aval Koder Hu Kavo Kabayim Minosin Lefnei Bamto Vinachoshesh Pirosh Koder Mishaer, you estimate, which is right in line with Beomed Kavo Kabayim, you approximate. This language, actually, the Pirosh is actually exactly what the Rif says, as we're going to see in the Rush. In a moment, the Rush is going to lay out both Shitos. But yeah, there is something that has to be looked into with the Sefer Or. If this is the second time in the same general Sugya, it's in this chapter, Chelek Aleph Samach Tes, where he sides against Rashi in what's apparently supposed to be Rashi's Sefer, makes me want to look into that. I don't know if there's been any sort of scholarly editions published where I can look this up, but when I have the time, Blineder, I will go back to that and see exactly what's going on here, because it seems strange that twice in the same section, directly against the Shita of Rashi, the book that Rashi is supposed to have written chooses the opposite Shita. Seems a little bit strange.
Sir, I'm just having difficulty with the case. This is happening in an individual's house or barn.
Yes.
Where nobody's actually seeing it.
Yes.
And we're afraid it's not because it's Uta the Chol.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
And the farmer doesn't normally sell.
We don't know that, but the point is there, we have these Xeros that we're not actually thinking that there's dozens of people walking by. And nevertheless, we still make these sort of gazeros. So, let's take a look at the Rush.
Okay, and one last question on this. And how does he normally store the barley? Like, how does the farmer store?
So it's in his kri. We see this, we see the idea of a kri in all sorts of different, agricultural things that are stored. And there was just a big pile of stuff, and it was in your dry, safe little barn there, and you would go in and you'd take stuff out from there. So that's what's happening here. Let's take a look at the Rush. The Rush quotes to Gemara, the first line, Adbar of Chesvalor of Ukva, Vidarash Lehemto, that first line is just a direct quote from the Gemara, where in the Rush, Mesechas Beitza Gimel's Tesvav. And says the Rush, Pirish Rashi. Rashi explains, Koder Lashon Nokev, Bikav Bikri Atzmo. You're going to, again, try to make a hole using the Kav measurement in the Kri itself. Umimal Oshelo Kederech Mida. And you're going to fill it not in the way that you would normally measure. Okay, that's the way that Rashi explains it. Varavrgal Fasi Zal. But the Rif explains, Pirish Koder Mishaer Beome Dato. You estimate it. Right, we see again the similar language, Rabbeinu Hananel, the Rif, and the Sefer Ora, which was what was bothering me, is Mishar Ba'omed Da'ato. And he says this is the machlokas that comes up between Rashi and the Rif. And then he quotes again the Nachtom, he also quotes Isha Kemach. We're not going to, those are just quotes from the Gemara, we don't have to read through them. So, In summary, we have a machlokas. On the one hand, we see Rashi. Rashi says that based on the word koder, we're talking about doing this in an unnatural way, and therefore it's not going to look like it's mekach u'memkar. According to the Rif, it's because it's inaccurate. And according to Rav Hananel, it's all about because it's not exact, therefore eino choshesh, you don't have to worry that you're measuring. So I wanted to present something which a lot of people state as obvious, but that I wouldn't have known unless they would have stated it as obvious. And it begins in the Meiri, it continues in the Shita, it continues down to the Acharonim. I actually saw it brought down. The Nativ brings it down in the name of his uncle, the original Rav Meir Berlin. Nevertheless, says the Meiri, Asul Adam Sheyimdo Seorin V'yitin L'mei Behemto. It's forbidden for a person to measure out barley and place it in front of their animal. Shekol shehu mechavein limedida aser. So long as you're specifically trying to measure, that's aser. Aval misha'er hu kav o kabayim v'nosein la. However, you can estimate kav or kabayim and give it, because that's apparently not mechavein limida. V'koder perusho misha'er. And the meaning of koder is to approximate. Mishair is not an exact measurement, it's an approximation, it's an estimation. Ve'av belashon arav koren li'inyan shiur al-kadir. So he says the word koder actually comes not from the Hebrew of or Aramaic of it, but actually from the Arabic. And you can identify, right now I could go around the table, and you can choose which Rishonim follow Rashi, and which Rishonim follow Meiri, well, the Rif really, or Rabbeinu Hananel, based on whether or not they spoke Arabic. You can go through the entire list, and you will hit every single one. All of the ones that have a command of Arabic, identify it with this Arabic word of estimation.
I've learned a lot of Meiri, but I don't remember him so much being giving a lot of parishim in Arabic. I just don't know.
Right, he definitely doesn't live in the right location for that, but he was clearly... Yeah. Right, but he was clearly aware of it.
Well, that's because Provence was the most amazing place, because it was you had both.
Right, but Meiri himself, I wouldn't ever, and he's a big Rambam guy as well. So he'd know that the Rambam held of this, and he'd probably know why the Rambam held of this.
Right.
And in fact, the Rambam, the avid Arabic speaker, does in fact follow this interpretation. And you see in Shita Mikubetz as well, he says, V'arif pirish misha'er be'omed, that should say with a dalid, not be'omer, with a resh. And Shita Mikubetes, if I don't remember if this one was one of the exceptions that wasn't written by Rav Bezalel Ashkenazi, but if it was, also an Arabic speaker, and he says Velishna de Koder Mashmashu Lashon Aravi. He says Koder sounds like an Arabic word to me, but you see it again in many, many, many places. Whereas in the Ashkenazi lands, where they would not have been aware of this Arabic word, they just don't explain it like that. Look at the Piske Rid. A good Italian wouldn't have known a word of Arabic. He says, "Asbar Rav Chesdal Ravana Ukva v'Darash Lo Yimdod Adam Seorin v'Yitin Lefnei Behemto Aval Koder Ukav Ukvayim V'Enachoshesh Nosin Lefnei Behemto V'Enachoshesh." Pirish, what does it mean to be koder? Mishakeya hakav l'toch hakri shel seorin. You stick it in to the pile. Shelo kederach mida, not in a way of measuring. V'Nosin Lefnei Behemto V'Koder Hu No Cave. Where does it come from? Lashon Mikadrin Beharin V'Nachdom. And as we said, so this is the way the Piskei Rid says. He says this is a language of no cave, of piercing, just the same way as Mikadrin Baharim. Does anybody know what Mikadrin Baharim means? We pierce mountains?
That's when you do measurements, right?
Very good. So yeah, it's this Gemara in Erev in here. I brought you an English translation because it would just be a little bit weird without one. But if anybody wants to read it, I have a bit of a cold and would be more than happy if someone wants even to read just the English, although the Hebrew when translating is just as good for the next source in Arabic. Any volunteers?
Do you want the English or the Hebrew? The English. If one was measuring the limit and reached a canyon or a fence, the height of the fence and the depth of the canyon are not counted toward the 2,000 cubits. Rather, he spans it and then resumes his measurements. Two people hold the two ends of rope straight across the canyon or the fence, and distance is measured as though the area were completely flat.
Right, what we call as the crow flies, or...
Right. It's a Mishnah, no?
It is a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Arabic.
Yeah, that's why I remember this one. If one reached a hill, he does not measure its height. Rather, he spans the hill as if it was not there, and then resumes his measurement, provided he does not thereby go out beyond the city's Shabbat limit, as though as those watching the surveyor might mistakenly think the limit extends to that point.
Right, so now what does he say?
If due to the width of the canyon or hill, he cannot span it with regard to the situation of Dostai by Yana, and the name of the mayor, I heard that one may pierce hills. In other words, one measures the distance as if it were a hole in the side of the hill to the other side. In effect, he measures only the horizontal distance and ignores the difference in elevation.
So what does Mikadrin Baharim mean? It means as if you like made a little tunnel, a hole through the mountain, and that way you could measure it straight across. So if you take a look at Rashi there, how does Rashi explain Mikadrin? Nokvin roin ki'ilu nokvin osan umodidin derech hanekev lima'et midas midrono kedamer begemara. How do you do that? And the Gemara explains, how do you calculate only the across and not the up and down? So it's very interesting. It says, Shemodinos of the Chevel shall dalet amos. Use a rope that's 4 amos long.
Waist to waist.
Not waist to waist, waist to feet. Right? So therefore, if two people are standing, and I apologize to the people in the recording, but I'm going to illustrate it on my hands here. If we have a mountain, which they're going here, we have our beautiful Coke bottle as our mountain. So one person stands here and one person stands here, and this person holds it at his head level, and this person holds it at his feet level, or at their waist and their feet, or at their head and their waist. The point is so that it's across, and that way they'll know, oh, there's 4 amos across from here to here, even though it's much higher up the mountain. And that's what Rashi says, right? V'tachton niyach hazuchelo keneged libo. The bottom guy puts it at his chest, v'elyon keneged margalosav. The other guy holds it down by his feet. And then again, you can get across that way, because even that would be a fairly steep incline. So you'll definitely be able to measure it appropriately that way. That's the way Rashi explains. Look at the Rambam, though, in Parashat Mishnayos, though. And the truth is, I should have actually looked for the original Arabic here, so I could see him say koder in Arabic. I did actually try to do Google Translate on the word koder, but it came out to a few different things. It actually could have to do with other meanings of the word kadar. But not for now. Shamati says the Rambam Shemikadrin Baharim Inyano Ha'omid Vehakiruv.
Oh, right.
They say you should estimate how far across the mountain. How do you get a rough estimation? He says, V'kodar B'lashonam HaChotech. Some people understand it to mean cutting or piercing, and he says it's a similar idea here. But the Rambam's really going full force with, again, this Arabic definition that he goes through, and he explains, he quotes just like Rashi says, what the Gemara says to do, and he says, if you look at the last full line of Rambam, v'chein modedin es kulo arba amos achar arba amos lefi kiruv zeh, according to this approximation. Meaning, it's still not going to be exact, but you're estimating it this way, and that's what it means, mikadrin baharim, according to the Rambam's interpretation of it. So that's very, very interesting. If we even want to go further with the Rambam does in some places try to figure out exactly what's happening here. There's a tshuva of the Rashbash. Anybody know who the Rashbash was?
Reb Shimon ben...
Yeah?
Shesus, no?
Sorry. Close.
Ben...
Shimshon.
Shimshon, right.
Who is Shimshon? Shimshon ben Samach Duran was the Tashbates.
Right.
This is the Tashbates' son, I believe. That's the Rashbash.
Okay,
so this is Rishonim. This is late Rishonim, but it's still Rishonim. And apparently someone had written to him, and this was the tshuva he was writing back. Od she'alta, you had asked, Levar lecha lashon Rambam zashkasav perikud mehelchas shchita. Be'inyan krua, she'omer sham, nikdar habasar be'orech o be'igul, im haya yoser mikaselav hu'shir shalosh gar'ine tamara, etc., etc., etc. They're talking about different types of trefos that you can have. Right? And there it talks about nikdar habasar. If the basar got nikdar, whatever that means.
And he means to be
so cut or pierced, and that's what he's going to explain in the tshuva here.
Right.
And he quotes you different Gemaras, which are not so important, only to say that the Rambam actually uses this word nikdar to mean cut and pierced in his yad, as we saw in Hilchos Shechita, based on when the Gemara uses it that way, because there you can't say it means estimation in any way, form, or fashion. When it talks about the, you know, the flesh or the skin getting nikdar, it doesn't mean when it gets estimated. So the Rambam does accept this definition in some places, as would all these other Arabic speakers. But you can see that both it appears in the Gemara there as well as appearing in the Rambam's Lashon himself. Skip down, v'im hi niktara b'resh o niktada b'dalis. See that there?
Yeah.
So there's a question, and it comes up in a few places, whether it's nikdara or niktada. I guess niktada is close to nakod, like a point, meaning it's like a piercing through, like a nikuda. I guess maybe that's where the shorish would come from. So he says, Anu Gorsin Beresh, we all have it like a resh. However, Ubal Ha'aruch Hu Gores Bedalid, Ba'aruch Kadad. If you look in the Aruch for the entry, he has it under Kuf Dalid Dalid, that means to pierce or cut, whereas we have it Kuf Dalid Resh. Umashe Amru Beperek Ein Sadin Aval Koder Hu Kav O Kabayim. And he says, and this that we say in Perek Ein Sadin, that you're piercing a Kav or Kabayim, Pirshu Harif Zal V'Arambam Zal Milashon Shior. Karov l'lashon aravi ve'eno inyan l'zeh. It has nothing to do with what you're talking about, piercing now here. No, no, no. That shear there is an Arabic word. That kadar there is an Arabic word. Now, just to talk a little bit about the word itself, I saw a couple of theories that come up. One interesting theory that I saw is that the word kadar is related to the word doker, dalid kufresh, which actually means to poke.
Right.
And that's just simply switching the letters, which you often see with different roots like that, and that's why in...
What's a spear in Hebrew?
A spear?
Yeah.
I mean, there are a few words for it, but...
What's a spear?
To spear something is guitar.
Guitar? Is it guitar? Yeah, like guitar, something like that?
Well, that is...
Yeah, there are dokranim, which are like spikes in Hebrew and things like that. Definitely dalid kufresh is a common Hebrew word that means to poke holes in. And some have suggested that was where it sort of came up into this Aramaic word, which we see, to pierce, from that same type of root, just switching around these letters. Again, other people have the kadad as opposed to kadar. The word kdera, interestingly, which also appears in our sugya, doesn't appear to have anything to do with this. Even though the other meaning for kadad or kadar actually means to darken, or to make black. And since pots were very much black, right, it's black as a pot,
yeah.
I believe that's where the word kadera comes from. What you could have said very interestingly, and what I might have argued... Right. Yeah.
I thought it was Dakar. I don't
know. No, but you do have Dakar as the same, is certainly a piercing tool. What you do have interesting, though, and what I might have said lule seeing all of this, is that maybe what it means to be mikader is to use it as a kedera. Meaning you're not using your kav as a measuring tool, but you're simply putting it in as a receptacle to carry something here. And again, nobody actually says that, but it's a possibility that's close, I think, as well to the explanation of Rashi, not in terms of the understanding of the word, but in terms of the understanding of what's going on. You're not using your kav as a measuring tool, you're simply using it to bring something along, like almost you're using it as a pot, to place it as a trough, to place it in front of your animal. And nevertheless, though, no one says that. It's just something, when I was thinking about the words, I noticed how kadera was close to this and thought if there was some connection there. At the end of the day, though, what we do see is, number one, this very distinct linguistic divide amongst the Rishonim as to how they explain this word, and the fact that this machlokes goes all around Shas, and that even those who follow the Arabic here do not follow it in other places. That's really what I'm trying to get in here. There are other sugyas where this word comes up, but I think we're good for now. Now, here's the question is, what does Rashi actually mean, and what does the Rif actually mean? If I were to ask you, when the Rif says, right, and here was the language we used, Misha'er be'omed da'ato, ve'eno choshesh. What? How would you explain that? Misha'er be'omed da'ato.
He's not measuring. He needs to feed the animal.
He's not measuring. That's what you would say. Is he using a measuring tool?
Possibly, but he's not filling it, so he doesn't know the actual measurement.
Okay, that's a little harder to understand. I mean...
Well, it says an estimate. So if it's saying it's an estimate...
Well, I mean, if you have your measuring tool there and you fill it up, then you know how much is in it.
So I'm saying you're not filling it up. That's why I'm saying it's...
So you're specifically not filling it up?
You're specifically not, if it's the tool, you're not filling it up. If it's something else altogether,
interesting. Interesting. Okay, it's an interesting way to look at it. You are definitely not alone in that pshat. I saw a couple of pshatim come up in terms of interpreting this, and then we'll talk a little bit about the how we go, la halacha, and things like this. Shulchan Aruch does end up passing like the Rif Rambam. even though the Rush and the Run both bring just both Shitos.
Do all the Gemaras have the same Girsa?
Yes, I checked every... Not by Shchita, I checked over here. Every single manuscript that Friedberg had available all had...
Right. Here, what was it? Right. Regarding Shchita, I was curious whether it has the differences.
Well, I mean, if the Aruch already had Nikdada, I'm assuming that there were differences there as well. And from what I remember, when we had this in Chulin, there were different manuscripts. And I don't know if in the Mishnah, I didn't check the Mishnah in Erevin either. There are other places in Chas where we can definitely look this up, but I did check our Sogia just to be sure.
Yeah, so I mean, in Erevin it wouldn't make a difference either. It's only this one in Chulin that makes a difference.
Right, because there everybody agrees.
Yes.
But Lamaisa, the Rambam uses the word Nikdar in again, in Yad, so it's certainly not likely that he had a different Girsa there. Okay. So, the Korban Asanel on the Rush there, as two very interesting comments to say. Comment number one that he adds is, V'rav Alfasi Zal, Pirish Koder Mishar Be'omedato, says the Korban Asanel, Va'afilu Be'adayim Nosein Be'mida O Be'ofen Shelo Yemale Hamida. He says, as you said, it's nothing, you know, it's just the point is, you can't fill it up exactly, and therefore the Rif will actually allow you to take from your pile and pour into the mida, so long as you're not filling it exactly. Because that's, so long as it falls under the category of estimation, you're safe. Okay? On the other hand, ulapirish rashi hu lehepich. Kishihu nokiv vikri yachol emalos kol hamida. Uviyadayim aser litein toh hamida. He says, according to Rashi, you're going to get the exact opposite. You can actually fill up the full measure by sticking it into the pile, because it's all about the process, not about the result. And therefore, he says, but to take with your hands, even if you weren't filling up the midas as a Korban Asanel, would actually be aser, according to Rashi. He writes, he notes, this is, it's funny, because we don't think of it that way. We think of the Rif as being very machmir, you can only estimate, and Rashi, you can measure out. But he says, no, it's about the process which you're using. According to the Rif, it's about the result. And therefore, no matter how you're putting it in, what you're putting it in, it's okay, so long as it doesn't end up with a measured out amount. According to Rashi, you can end up with that measured out amount, but it has to be done in this process, and you can't actually use your hands like you would on a weekday.
Okay, so that's why I asked at the beginning. Rashi sounds to me like his issue here is Uvdin Dechol, and not Mekach U'Memkar.
But he says Mekach U'Memkar, and we'll talk about that. I mean, I brought it in the Igros Moshe, because I figured there's no point in copying out all the Cheetos that he brings, but Tosfos and Shabbos say it's about Uvdin Dechol. And I think that Rashi works just as well with them.
Right, so you're saying it's Uvdin Dechol for Rashi, then?
No, I think for Rashi it's Mekach U'Memkar. Tosfos say it is Uvdin Dechol, and I can't deny that Tosfos say that, because they say it outright, just as I can't deny that Rashi says outright, Shenira Kemode Limchar. It just, I'm stuck. But that's how he explains. He also brings the Marashal here. He says, Kevan Demili Durabanan Hu as Linin Lekula Bitarvayu, a very interesting psak of the Marashal. He says, listen, what are we dealing with? What are the stakes here? The stakes are pretty darn low, says the Marashal. You're dealing with some questionable Isurim. So he says, so you can go Lekula however you want to hold, which essentially just means you can end up measuring either Be'omed or, like Rashi says, to measure out exactly, but in a funny way. And that's the way that he paskins. We'll see there's a discussion about this in the Halacha. So that was the Korban Asanel there that we said, which was, quoting the Marashal, that we go Lekula both ways, like Rashi or like the Rif. The Bach actually has a very different way of looking at this. He focuses on the words Ve'eno Choshesh.
Who says Ve'eno Choshesh?
The Gemara says.
Ve'eno Choshesh.
Right? If you look back in the Gemara, right? Ve'enosem v'nei v'hemto ve'eno Choshesh. And don't worry about it.
Right?
So the Bach actually makes a very interesting deal from this. It's a Bach that's hard to make sense out of. But nevertheless. V'ika l'medak. L'perush Rashi nicha. According to Rashi, it all makes sense. Hadika amar v'eno Choshesh. That which it says v'eno Choshesh. De'af al pishi hu noge v'kav atzmo. O b'kavayim atzman b'kri. It says, even though you're actually taking the measurement, you're sticking it into the pile. V'salka da'itach, I mean, I would have thought. De'kivan shelokeach hashi'urim b'mida. Hashvinan lei kimode. I would have thought that since you're literally sticking it into the pile and taking out the measurement that you want, that is like a modet kamash malan, de'eno choshesh. Why? Kevan shememala shelo kederech medida lase spiyado so hamida.
Because it's all a shina.
Correct. And he's saying, there it makes sense to say the words ve'eno choshesh and don't worry about it. Why? Because, Hav, I mean, I would worry about it because I'm doing an actual act of measuring. He says, however, Aval Persha Alfasi, according to the Rif, Dimishar Be'omed Hadas, Avalo Yimdod Klal, Upirish Koder, Humilashon Mekadrin Baharim, which is interesting. Here he quotes the Gemara in Erevint, like the Rambam and the Rif, Shepirish Shemoded Bechevelatchum Umishar Lifni Omedato. And again, that is an estimation. So he says, according to him, Amai Itzdrech Lomar Ve'ino Choshesh. Hapshitahu Deleka Hachashum Chashasha De Isura. He says, I don't understand. If I'm the Rif, so I'm estimating, in what measuring could I possibly be doing that the Gemara has to reassure me, don't worry, it's all okay.
Because I'm using a measuring instrument.
You're not using a measuring instrument. According to the Bach, he seems to be understanding right now, altogether there is no measuring instrument present, you're simply just estimating with your hands. As if like there's no measuring going on altogether, that's the way that he's reading it. And look at his answer. His answer is, again, very hard to read, but you do get to see how he explains it. V'yishlomer, d'hai misha'er bida'ato. What does it mean, misha'er bida'ato? That you're estimating in your mind. Hachi perusha, this is what it means. Im rota litin lefnei behem to kav o kabayim. So if you want to give your animal a kav or kabayim, lo yimdod bekad o kabayim, you shouldn't measure it out in the kav or kabayim. Ella nosin lifi omid da'ato umeshaer shemashihu nosin lifnei vehemto shihukavo kavayim pachos ktas o yoser. He says what you should do is you should estimate in your mind and think that what you're giving your behema is more or less a kavar kavayim, meaning you're still not using the tools, he says. The Ashmi'in and it teaches us, de'af al pi de'mishaer bidato shizeshu nosin lifnei vehemto ukavo kavayim, even though he says, we're telling you to specifically intend, even though you're not using any utensils. But you know that how much you took in your mind is kav or kavayim. Meaning, let's say, and we'll try to give a more practical example of what the Bach is trying to say. The Bach says, according to the Rif, you're not using any tools, you're simply using your hands, you're putting it into the trough. Lemaisa, though, when you are taking the amount and putting it into your trough, what do you think you're putting into the trough?
Kav or kavayim.
Kav or kavayim. So therefore, says the Bach, that's the half. I mean, I might have thought is usher. Even though I'm not using a measuring tool, I am using my intellect to be able to try to get exactly a kavar kabayim. And therefore, one might have thought that that's usher, says the Bach. Afilu hachi eno choshesh delihave chashuv kemoded umutter. That, he says, is not considered like moded. V'hachi naktinan lechumra kai pirusha. And he says, and you need to follow this lechumra. Whoa. So first of all,
that...
the chumrah is that you're only allowed to measure it out using your mind. Meaning, don't think that just because you think you're taking a kav, that's considered measuring.
Right, right.
But he says you have to follow not only the Rif l'chumrah, but this interpretation of the Rif l'chumrah. Meaning, the way that you interpreted the Rif, the way that the Korban Asanel interpreted the Rif, is you can take with your hand and put it into the kav o kabayim, so long as it's not exactly full.
He says no,
you're never allowed to use the kav o kabayim.
Right.
The estimation that we're talking about here is one where hava amina, since you're trying to take out a kav or kabayim, it would have been asar mishum medida, kamash malan, it's not.
Maybe I missed because I was away for so long, not sure. When we talk about the butcher giving you with his hand, right?
Next week, we're going to try to talk about the shkila again versus medida, but yes.
I mean, that's more an exact way of doing it. It's more what we expect for him to do it in that way, and therefore it's more like measuring than something like this.
Yeah, so I mean, that may also only be for a butcher, to remember.
Right.
That was another one of your famous shitos. Accurate, in that case, because that we're talking about,
Tabachuman
Asar
Lishko
Basar B'yad. Right, okay. But yeah, if that's
in other words, if this would be the way to do the measuring by hand or you know, that way, there would be usher, right?
Right, but this is not, according to Rashi, or according to Tosfos Sfara that we brought.
Right.
That would be, because that's a normal way to do it, and that was something that came more into play there than does here.
Because
the Rif is not concerned about that at all. The Rif is just making sure, obviously, if you're not getting an exact amount, then you're not measuring, and there's no concern of measuring altogether. That's what the Rif is targeting. Now, whether he's targeting that because of Ovdin Dechal, whether he's targeting because of Mechel Memkor, we don't know why the Rif is targeting it, but he's just saying, don't do Medida, and the way to avoid Medida is, fine, just don't do it exact. Anyways, that I thought was very interesting, Bach, because Bach really takes the Rif to the most machmir possible position, really, to say, that the only thing that's mutter is to just estimate in your mind. Never are you using an actual kav or kabayim in the measuring tools. What I wanted to do is now sort of circle back. Here's where I want to talk more about the svaras, the two svaras that we had. We had Rashi's svara in our sogya of Makach Memkar. We had Tosus' svara in that sogya of because it's due to Uvdin Dechol. There seems to be a heter for mitzvah. There's a whole long Rav Moshe here. You're welcome to read through it. The reason why I brought the Rav Moshe is just to consider really both of these things and using a thermometer on Shabbos. Would there be any problem of using a thermometer? Let's say someone worried they have a fever. Is there a problem with using a thermometer, assuming, let's say, it's not electronic? Let's say it's just one of these mercury thermometers, and it's going to accurately measure.
I thought there was no problem.
It's not Mekach HaMemkar.
Right. So number one, I would think, according to Rashi, it's an absolute non-starter. Sorry. You never are measuring heat for the sake of Mekach. Like, how could it remotely be a question? He doesn't mention that, interestingly, but that's...
It's interesting. If it's a thermometer in a person, that's correct. If it's a thermometer in something you're cooking or warming up, that could be...
I agree, but that's never something that's sold. That's never from Mekach HaMemkar. But you could make the argument that it has to... Correct. You could make the argument... Not even Uvdin Dechol. You could make the argument that... Meaning Uvdin Dechol doesn't necessarily need to be associated with the Malacha, although it usually is, I think we say. So yeah, it could be Uvdin Dechol for sure, and would have
but
to do with cooking.
Not
correct. But it's clearly not Mekach HaMemkar, and I think according to Rashi, therefore it's a non-starter. According to us, it's that it's an Uvdin Dechol. There still seems Rav Moshe is still very much makel here. He says, whether or not it would apply to Medidah Tzarchei Bais, which it seems to yes based on this Gemara. We'll talk about the case of the next one. Adding in spices, measuring spices to add into the soup is only a heter, according to what seems to be most Rishonim. And we'll see the Meiri on this, God willing, next week. And the other Rishonim, that this is a heter for someone who's cooking or baking on a large scale for lots of people. But if it's just for a regular individual in the house, you actually wouldn't be allowed to measure out spices. It seems, just to note those two shitos, which actually do come up, it's interesting, Rav Moshe seems to very much focus on the shita of Tosfos and really, really follow that. He says, he argues with Rashi in this, and he says, V'ayin b'm, look in the second to last line, okay? V'ayin b'magan avram orachayim simen shin vav, sifkat en tesvav, shehevi divrei ha-Tosfos lehalacha. And the Shulchan Aruch Harav also, in Shin Chaf Dalet, I believe, brings this shita as Tosfos' shita, saying it's all about Uvdin Dechol. That's the concern here. If it's about Uvdin Dechol, so in order to avoid Uvdin Dechol, again, you can either do Rashi or you can do the Rif. Because if you're not measuring properly, it's not Uvdin Dechol. And if you're not doing it in the normal way of measuring, it's also not Uvdin Dechol. So it would seem to make sense that both would be...
But wouldn't the analogy be, instead of using a thermometer, I just used my hand and guessed and estimated?
Well, I'm not sure why that's necessary, though. If it's Uvdin Dechol, you can make that argument, yes. But as we're going to see, we'll see what Moshe says. V'im kein nimsa she'ein shayach after rabbanan b'medida sachom shalidei thermometer she'eino inyan klal l'medida ha'asura achu chumra ba'alma she'ish ma'ala l'ach mer v'rotze l'hakel in limchos bo. And if you read through, he says, he compares it to our case, and he says, even though there's Rashi, Tosfos says that it's about Uvdin Dechol, and he says it's only on medida of tzarchei habayis, things that are needed, but medida kazo, he says it's very hard to understand why it would be even included in Tosfos as Uvdin Dechol. That's the way the Rav Moshe comes out. Rav Moshe does side with Tosfos against Rashi, which I'm not sure why that is, but I mean, he does bring a Magen Avraham. That's a pretty good reason, actually. Sorry. But nevertheless, he says there's not going to be a problem here. If someone wants to be Machmir, fine, you're welcome to, but... certainly no one should be moche against a person who wants to be mekel. The Mishnah Berurah, on the other hand, I noticed in Shin Chaf Dalet when I went to look through, it does paskin like Rashi, he writes. What does it mean, lo yimdod? So he again has a big chumrah here. Hainu b'kli hamida. You can't actually use the kli hamida altogether. How on earth he possibly learns that pshat in Rashi is just beyond me. It's no way, this cannot be Rashi. Even though he gives Rashi's reason, p'shinira ki'ilu humode limchar. But Rashi himself says you're allowed to use the Kli Shel Midah. So I don't know how he's piecing this together. He's combining the Chumrah of the Rif that we saw essentially in the Bach, although he doesn't quote the Bach at all. He says, "Mnei Shenirak Ilu Moda Lim Korav Alikach Bekli Acher Ulishar Kavo Kabayim Mutter V'Zeu Shem Mishayim El Shem Mishar V'Ayin BeEl Yerabba." He tells you to look in the El Yerabba. Now, what does the El Yerabba say? Very interesting. the Mishnah Berurah, as we know, tends to be a big machmir inside. But here he tells you, go look in the El Yarabah. So the El Yarabah, as we know, is a commentary on which sefer? I've mentioned this here before, I've mentioned this elsewhere. Anybody know? It's a tough one.
Am I getting it wrong?
Nope. Oh. Close. The Levush.
The Levush. Oh.
Right, so the Levush, does anybody know what the Levush is? Or let's go through that. The Levush is in, is another written code of law, written after Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, that incorporates a little bit more, slightly longer than Shulchan Aruch. It was written 100-odd years afterwards, not long afterwards. And there are two commentaries, which were written really by the same person, El Yarabah and El Yazuta, which are commentaries on the Levush. They essentially say the same thing. I'm not sure exactly whether one was the first version and another one was the second version, but the El Yarabah does bear a lot of weight, as do the Levush, in Psak. And here's what the Levush says in Shin Chaf Dalet. V'lo yimdot se'orin v'yitin lifnei behemto b'mida. He says you shouldn't measure out se'orim and place it in front of one's animal in a measured way.
Oh, we're doing the Levush now, okay.
Right, and then we're going to jump to El Yarabah, which is a commentary on the Levush. That's why it's like, I wouldn't read you the, you know, the Mishnah Berurah without the Shulchan Aruch, even though I did here, but just so you get an idea. So says the Levush, Ela nokev hu bikri bekav atzmo. He quotes Rashi. He says you should pierce the pile with the kav, umemale esakli shelo kederech hamedida, and you should fill the kli not in a way of being modate, umishar kifi omedato, and estimate based on what you're doing of a lo yimdot klal, but you can't, you know, measure. Okay. This is just impossible to understand. What the heck is he saying?
What he's saying is actually what Steinsaltz is quoting.
Which
basically
is?
Basically, you're using the kli,
uh-huh,
but you can't fill it. In other words, you've had here where you said you could fill the kli as long as you're just piercing it.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying you can't fill it. You can still use the same kli, but you're still estimating. So it's combining both what you're seeing in
Rashi.
So you put the
Rashi with the rabbi.
But when you put a kli in, you're going to bring out stuff, right?
Yeah, but you're not
right.
Measuring.
But it's not going to be exact.
Well, right.
You right. I was also thinking, by the way, if it comes out overfull, you also don't have this issue. Just something to point out. Underfilled and overfilled will essentially give you
exactly
the same problem.
Exactly the same. But you're piercing it in. You're not doing it.
According to Rashi, it's not an issue. But I'm saying even according to the Rif,
right,
who says don't measure exactly, I would think overfull is just as good as underfilled.
Right, but they're interpreting Rashi to be a combination of both.
Right, so he's understanding Rashi, that's what it seems. El Yarabah,
right,
though, says no. Listen to what he writes. It's Tzarech Iyun. Dibitur mevor shezeh das rif upalik al Rashi shu svar rishon avim kain heich hirkiv halavush shnei hadeos.
Right.
He says, what's the Levush doing? He's combining both shittos. He says, no. Well, inyan halacha, hashulchan aruch v'bach chaskuk rif.
We're talking about some cooking, so I thought he mixed
it. Very good. Says according to Allah, the Shulchan Aruch and Bach paskin like the Rif. Aval biyam shel Shlomo sof perak ein sadin pasak kishneihem lekula kemet yomili derabanan. O yimale b'mida atzmo velo biyadav. O yishair bikli acher v'nirali letareit dized das alavosh. He says it's not that he's being marked both shitos like you're saying in the name of Steinsaltz, but rather he says it's actually that what he's saying is you have the right to be make like both like this like the Marshal that we saw earlier in Yom Shel Shlomo, quoted by the Karban Asanel above, to say that since it's the Rabban, you're allowed to go like both.
But
so he would read it as possible.
Yeah.
Just let's hear how he would read it. Elanoke du bekriva kavast mo malzekli kaloshim derech hamida u mishar kviyomedaito avaloyim dor klal. The u serves not as a and, meaning not within the same action, but
or,
which you often see. It's not the clearest of language, but it's an interesting way to read it. And it's going to turn out that he argues vehemently against the Bach, who's even more machmir than the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch just says to follow Rif. You could still interpret Rif. Shulchan Aruch doesn't give you any deal on how to interpret Rif. Maybe you could interpret Rif according to the Karban Asanel, who says that you're allowed to even fill it with your hands in the actual kav, so long as you're not filling it fully. Like we said earlier, the point is to say that this is the way the El Yarabah learns at the Levush, and the fact that the Mishnah Berurah is mitzayin this El Yarabah means that even though Shulchan Aruch paskins this way, there is a significant opinion that says actually mutter to do it either way, but he doesn't want to write it outright in the Mishnah Berurah as the Mishnah Berurah does. Anyways, I thought that was interesting, just to sort of sums
right.
things up, that there's this massive machlokas between the Rashi camp and the Rif camp, or Rabbi Hananel camp, again, between the Arabic speakers and non-Arabic speakers, how you interpret this word, how that then changes how you're addressing the issue of either Uvdin Dechol according to Tosfos, or according to Rashi, the issue of Mekach u'Memkar. And how the different terutz and the different ways of understanding this will lead you to different halachic nafka minas and will in fact lead to different psakim, and how that might apply to measuring something else like a temperature on Shabbos, that it would be certainly mutter, according to Rashi, even according to Tosfos, room to be mekel in this regard. It's interesting. I mean, you could even make the argument, as unnecessary as it would be, but with certain measuring things like thermometers, if they are not so accurate, or if you're doing it in a different way than it would normally be done. I mean, I don't know which other body parts I know there's only three, but I don't know which ones people use and don't use on a regular basis. And if you could consider one of the ones that people don't usually use.
I don't think they use the bottom one.
Right. Maybe we have a new chumrah that on Shabbos, if you want to take someone's temperature, you can end up doing it like that. But I don't think that's necessary according to what we saw. But that's sort of where we end up today.
Sure.